Let's go to John chapter 14 this morning as we just meet together. We've been looking at the reality of the fatherhood of God, and the Holy Spirit is slowly but surely opening up how to experience our Heavenly Father's involvement. And I use the word fatherhood because it's easy to be a father. You can just be a sperm donor. You've got a child. But fatherhood is the act of involvement of a father in a child's life. And the Holy Spirit is helping us to experience the act of involvement of our Heavenly Father in our lives and opening up our eyes so that we can really see our Heavenly Father's involvement. And that's life-changing. And so that's what the Holy Spirit is keep on doing, is taking, is showing us there, as we've been looking at, that to really begin to know the Father, the key is to know Jesus. And Jesus will always send the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit will always take from Jesus and make it known. But Jesus, He is the one who came to make our Heavenly Father known. And that's what we're just going to just recap a little bit this morning. And then we're going to go into praying in the name of Jesus, but differently now, not only from what we've been looking at, having faith in the name of Jesus and understanding what Christ has done, but now praying in the name of Jesus with the revelation that He's revealing the Father. Again, you will just see it. It's going to change our lives, and you will see as you take hold of this and get established in the fatherhood of God. It's really life-changing. So in John chapter 14, or remember in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 1 and 2, where Paul is writing and he says over there that we need to fix our minds on heavenly things, fix our heart and your minds on heavenly things. Set it above. The Passion puts it nicely there. Fill your thoughts, fill your minds with heavenly realities. And that's what the Holy Spirit is helping us to begin to fill our minds with the heavenly reality of who our Heavenly Father is, the fatherhood of God. And as we renew our mind, what takes place? We are transformed. We experience the reality that of the fatherhood of God. And this is big. God, and I shared this before, God gives us opportunities with Him to be able to be involved in establishing His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And if you want to know what I'm building, and this is an invitation for you to build with me, I'm building a community that lives in the reality of the fatherhood of God. Imagine every citizen, everybody living in our communities that lives in the reality of our Heavenly Father's active involvement in their lives. Will we have the same community? Not at all. So it shows you how important this is. So I'm inviting you to join me in building a community for the kingdom of God, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. You see, we say hallowed be your name. And we see how Jesus said, I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father has told me to do. That hallowed be your name, Father. Where we walk and we do exactly what our Heavenly Father is wanting to do, and bringing glory and revealing Him in our communities. And so that's the desire, that's the prayer, that's the process right now. And when we go back, you'll understand why the Holy Spirit has talked us, or has led us to the years back where He started to speak to us about becoming free from self by recognizing that we've died with Christ. When did we die? And to start to learn how to live as sons in the Spirit, because sons are led by the Holy Spirit, you see. And everything's about that. And you will see the progress as the Holy Spirit has been teaching us. Step by step, we are sort of unlearning a lot of religion. He's showing us what true true relationship, true sonship is all about, what true faith is all about versus religious faith. And he's been guiding us step by step by step. He opened up the door for us to understand more of what God's grace is. And remember what God's grace is. It's God himself leaning forth, giving himself to us. Fatherhood. See, it's our Heavenly Father who is leaning forth to us as his children and imparting all that he is into our lives. That's grace. And he's doing that not only to us who are saved, but to the unsaved, because we need grace to be saved and the grace of God. And so that's what we've been looking at. So in John 14, yeah, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And I think when he speaks here, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And most of the times, we refer this to a future event. Jesus is going, so when we die, we're going to a place that the Father has prepared. But I think it's far bigger. I think that's a great fulfillment of this. But I believe when we look in John 14, that Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to give the Holy Spirit, and the Father and I are going to come and dwell in your hearts. You see, that's the place that he's prepared for us through his incredible righteousness, his sacrifice, so that the Father, by the Holy Spirit and the Son, can come and dwell in a place prepared. The sacrifice, the righteousness, the gift of righteousness that you have, the new creation in Christ Jesus. That's the place that I'm referring to right now. I'm looking forward to the great fulfillment of all of this, but right now you and I can experience the incredible dwelling of our Heavenly Father, of our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit within us. And so Jesus continues and he speaks here. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And again, we've read this many times, but there's an emphasis this morning. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. What did Jesus say in John 17 when he was praying to the Father? He said to the Father, I've given them eternal life to those that you have given me. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God the Father, and the Son Jesus Christ. See, that's life. So when Jesus says over here, I am the way, the truth, and the life, how are we going to know the internal life? How are we going to know the quality of Heavenly Father's life? It's through Jesus Christ, because he is the one. We are in him. And because we are in him, we participate in this incredible life. Or this quality, this divine eternal life. And Jesus answered, no one comes to the Father except through me. It hasn't changed. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. That's profound, that Jesus is saying, you've seen my Father. You imagine, well, what do you mean? We see you, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, exactly. I've come to reveal the Father. The very reason why I came was to make the Father known, so that you can come back home and to be with your Heavenly Father. And so that's the essence of the gospel, the good news of God. We'll have a look at that now. And so Jesus said over here, from now on, you have known him and have seen him. And so Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And so we want to see the fatherhood of God. We look at the acts, we look at Jesus, and we see the active involvement of Heavenly Father amongst humanity. Fatherhood of God. So we see the fatherhood of God in Jesus, as Jesus is teaching the incredible truth that the Father is wanting us to grasp, because it's the best thing for our lives. It sets us free. So all the truth, all the teaching. So when Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and he says, you snakes, etc., etc., that's the Father speaking truth because he wants the best for those Pharisees. And the Father's word is alive and is active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So as he's speaking, as Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees over there, you see the incredible truth of our Heavenly Father giving instruction and truth into their lives. When Jesus is going into the temple and is turning the tables upside down, you see the fatherhood of God that's exposing the reality of their sin and bringing them to the place where they now are conscious that what they are doing is not God's will for their lives. Fatherhood of God, opening up truth to people so that they know this is not the will of God for their lives. So now they're accountable. You see, the fatherhood of God, when he sees the people there that are hungry, are listening to Jesus' teaching, listening to the Father speaking to them, and they're hungry, the multiplication. The fatherhood of God, when Jesus speaks and he says, let me teach you how to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day. You see, the fatherhood of God, of the provision taking place, of the Father's will becoming a reality, the Father's involvement, his will, his kingdom, his involvement in our lives on earth as it is in heaven, making the Father real to humanity. The fatherhood of God, when Jesus says, look at all the lilies and the grass and all the birds and all that over there. Why are you guys so worried about all this stuff? Just come and live in the reality of my fatherhood, and these things shall be provided. The fatherhood of God in protection and provision. All the time, you just have to look at the life of Jesus and you just begin to see, Father, this is you. This is what you like. This is your involvement in our lives. So we look at Jesus' life and we see, okay, here we see how the Father loved, how Jesus walked in the love of the Father's involvement. And then we look at Jesus' life and then we can see, but it's our life as well. You see, why do we stress and worry about so much stuff when Jesus is showing you the active involvement of his Father, our Father, in his life, therefore our lives as well, because we are his children. That's a place of tremendous peace and rest. That's a place of tremendous security. And when we're honest with ourselves, we live a lot of the time as orphans. We're still worried about the payday. We're still worried about how we're going to survive in 5 years' time. We're still worried about all the stuff that's orphan. You see? And we have to be honest with ourselves and say, Father, by your Holy Spirit, I need healing in my thoughts concerning all this stuff because I'm not established in your fatherhood. I'm not established in the depth of the love that you have for me as your child. And I need to grow. I need revelation. And when we get to that place where we realize and we're honest with ourselves and say, thank you for showing me that I've got an orphan mindset. Now, you can take me into truth. And I'm going to be set free from that orphan mindset. Okay, so it's a big deal, fatherhood of God. For us as children living on this world and facing all the realities and the challenges of life. It's a big deal that our Lord Jesus is showing us the truth found in him of what the Father is really like. So we are learning to fill our thoughts and our minds and our hearts with the heavenly realities that we have a Heavenly Father and he's real. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he speaks about the anchor of your soul. Fatherhood is such an anchor for our soul. Our soul finds rest. Our soul finds peace. Our soul finds joy. Our soul finds hope. Our soul finds a future. When it's so rooted and anchored in the fatherhood of God. It's a big deal for the Holy Spirit to reveal to us our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, our Father. How great is the love of God that He lavished His love over our lives, that we will be called His children, and that's who we are, children of God. He is awesome. He is awesome. And so that's what we've been looking at, and we've looked at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, where we see there that Jesus is the image of God. We've looked at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 over there again, that Jesus is the image of God. So if you want to see what God really looks like, we see it in Jesus Christ because He reveals that to us. We also looked at a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just read that again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, because this is why this is so important. Because the whole scheme of Satan is to blind us from the reality of God the Father, who God the Father is seen in Christ Jesus. And so we see here in 2 Corinthians 4, and I'll read there from verse 4 onwards over there. Or let's go verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you see why the gospel, for you and I to proclaim the gospel is so, so important? Because it's God's way. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation. When you and I communicate and we share the good news of God, that is what God uses to break that incredible blindness that Satan has blinded the unbelievers with. Because now they cannot see in Christ Jesus, who was crucified, who came to them. They cannot see the image of God. They cannot see the Father of God in Jesus Christ. Have to be born again to be able to see that. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul writes over here, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge, the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And that is why you cannot bypass Jesus. We get to know the Father. We see the Father as we look at Jesus. In the face of Jesus, the revelation of the image of God, the Father of God, is made known to you and I. He is the way to the Father. If you know me, He said, you will know the Father. Okay. So any message that bypasses Jesus Christ concerning God the Father, you have to be very careful. Jesus is the way to the Father, and in Him we see the incredible depth of who our Heavenly Father is really, what He's about. Okay, otherwise you can get deceived because Satan is also a father, the father of lies. And we can have a revelation of the father of lies. And that's why he blinds the unbelievers from knowing the true Father. The gospel, eternal life, is that they may know the true God. Okay, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and you and I have been given the joy of witnessing, of sharing the gospel, of praying for the lost, and so forth, and being involved with the ministry and the message of reconciliation. So, let me just read another scripture over here in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to see this has always been the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God Himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Now notice this. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees us wrapped in Christ. Remember last Sunday, He is our life. what a new creation is all about. We shared that last Sunday. You can download that on the webpage. This is why we celebrate Him with all our hearts. And in love He chose us. Notice this. In love He chose us before He laid the foundation of the universe. Because of His great love He ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in His eyes with an unstained innocence. Now before the creation of the world, for it was always in His perfect plan to adopt us as His delightful children. This is the heart of this. Is in when you go into the deeper into the love of God for us, you will see sonship in the very fabric of His love. You will experience, you will know the Father's love. You will know the reality of being a child of God. It's in the depth of His love. And so it has always been, it's always been our Heavenly Father's perfect, not a plan B, perfect plan to adopt us. That word adopt is a beautiful word because it means son. There's two words, son and to place. And what it means, God has placed us as a son in His family. That's what this word adopted means. So before the foundations of the world, it was already God's purpose and plan through Christ Jesus to put us into His family. Okay, it's always been His plan, sonship, Father, we as His children, reconciled, family. And He carries on, for it is always in His perfect plan to adopt us as His delightful children through a union with Jesus, the Anointed One. So that, the purpose, His tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify His grace. His grace is who He is, His manifest presence, His fatherhood. For the same love He has for the beloved, Jesus He has for us. And this all unfolding plan brings Him great pleasure. Hey, that's our Father's joy. Can you just, you know, fill your mind with this stuff? Think, meditate on Jesus, and who knows the Father, who lived with the Father. He was with the Father from the very beginning. He's God the Son. And now He comes down in a human body, knowing, and now He's coming down. And now, out of His tremendous selflessness, because when the love of God is so selfless, the tremendous softness of God, of Jesus, I want you to meet my Father. You don't know Him yet. But I'm making a way that you can come and meet and be loved by my Father. I know what it's like to be loved because I've been there. See? And He's living a loved life. Now I'm giving my life to the most worst person in this world, the most wicked and evil. I want you to know the selflessness of God's love. The depths of Christ's love for humanity. I want you to know that endless depth and the width and the height. I'm giving my life that you can come into the family and know what it is to be loved by my Father. It's huge. That's good news. The good news is so much is in Jesus, what He has done to bring us back into the reality of what it is to be placed as children in the Father's home, be loved by Him, to live in the reality of His fatherhood. And we see that over there. So, by the Holy Spirit, this is made known to us. So back into John chapter 14. And then Jesus says over there in John 14, as we carry on over there, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. The fatherhood of God. Believe me when I say I am in the Father. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Every miracle is an expression of the fatherhood of God. I tell you the truth. Now, verse 12. This is where this is our opening now. This is the heavens are open for you and I to participate in this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because, why? I'm going to the Father. Very, very important. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. And Jesus then continues, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. No, 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 because you're going to be adopted. You're going to be placed as sons and daughters in the family of God because of your union in me. I will come to you. Go back to the John 14 in the beginning, where we think all the time Jesus is going to go to prepare a place. No, no, no. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, powerful, the day you and I receive the Holy Spirit, on that moment when you and I get born again by God, by the Holy Spirit from above, on that day you will realize, powerful, all of a sudden when God was so distant, that moment suddenly no longer is God distant. You will now know, you will realize the reality of who God the Father is, who Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is. On that day, when you and I get born again, what takes place over that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And then he carries on. Now listen to this. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. A continuous revelation of Jesus being made known to us, so that we can continually know the Father and live loved by the Father. Powerful. And then they carry on. So we see the tremendous teaching and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty. I love the Passion Translation here. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, the spirit of full sonship, the spirit of sonship, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved children. You know that word there where it says over there that by the Spirit we cry, Abba Father. That word cry is not Father. It's a loud shriek. And you know what? You must try this. Go outside somewhere. And you go and you call out with a loud voice, Abba Father, quite a few times. And you will experience something profound taking place within you. It's deep. Because now you're connecting with the Holy Spirit that's crying out loud, Abba Father. I remember in Durban, with the ministering time over there once, where this one young girl was really desperate in this battling, also just a broken family life kind of thing. And I said, go to the beach there and just go and just call out loud, Abba Father, Abba Father. And she did that early in the one morning. Everyone sleeping, she would, Abba Father. And she came, and in the testimony time, she was just saying, wow, God became real to her. You see, the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is so practical, so practical as we just begin to respond. So you need to maybe yourself or tell some of your friends that are battling with the fatherhood of God, not getting to grips with God the Father and with all the Father issues that we have over there. You can just go say, come, let's go together. Let's go into the felt. And we're going to call out Abba Father and testify with the Holy Spirit and calling out Abba Father. Okay, so that's very practical. And so in Galatians chapter 5, also in verse 4 onwards, there, 4, 5, and 6, it's the same, where God has given us the Spirit of His Son, again, by the Holy Spirit, calls us, Abba, we know that we are children of God, and again, we call Abba Father. But here in Romans, John chapter 14, and there in verse 12, when Jesus now is speaking to them and saying to the guys, it's the Father and me that's doing the work. I'm showing you the reality of our Father in heaven, hallowed be His name. I'm showing you the reality in my life, how the Father's name is made, is revealed. Who the Father is made known. So all the works, as I walk in union with Him, as I walk in obedience with Him, as I walk in this love relationship with Him, I'm showing you all the time, I'm showing all the people, wherever I go, what my Father and who their Father is. I'm making the Father known to them. Okay, so that's what he's saying over there. Now we who believe in Jesus, we now, as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, with the Father and the Son dwelling within us by the Holy Spirit, Jesus continually does his work. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within us. So our Lord Jesus is still actively involved in making the Father known to humanity. Still doing that all the time because of the Holy Spirit within us. And so Jesus says over here now, I'll tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Same thing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Remember, before the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, there wasn't a new creation yet. See, he had to do something. He had to die in our place so that by the Holy Spirit we can become a new creation. That's a greater work than what Jesus ever did while he was on the earth. Powerful work that. And just that, the truth of what it is to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, that is a lifelong journey of revelation, of growing into that over there. But let's go this. There's many surprises that we're still going to experience. This is what he says over there. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Okay, Christ has made the way to the Father, opened the heavens, grace is now being released, and I will because I'm going to the Father. Okay, now, Jesus is going back to the Father. Who's here on the earth? You and I. We here, the Holy Spirit has come, dwelling within us. So what does Jesus say now? Okay, and then he says over there, now, because I'm going to the Father, and I've asked the Father for the Holy Spirit has come, and because we are one in the oneness of God, the Father and I come and dwell and make a home within you, now, and I will, this is Jesus speaking, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. What has Jesus been doing all the time? Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See? Jesus' whole motive, everything about Jesus, was for the Father to be glorified in his life. That's his motive. That's his heartbeat. Okay. Then he goes on and he says over there now, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Jesus cannot change and all of a sudden stop and say, no, I don't want to bring glory to the Father anymore. I think it's time to bring glory to that person or that whatever the case may be. No, Jesus, is everything about Jesus is to reveal the Father, to bring glory to His name. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within us. Christ in us, His motive in us, is to reveal the Father to humanity. That's the thing what He's saying here. So now the motive for prayer, the motive for our prayers is, Father, we're praying this so that You will be made known. Your fatherhood will be revealed in this given situation in the name of Jesus. That's the motive for prayer that Jesus is speaking about here. Not a quick fix. Not a comfort out of comfort, you know, want comfort or something. No. It's so that people can experience and know the fatherhood of God. And this is what God wants us to be established in there. So in our prayers, whether we're praying for ourselves, when we're praying for others, as we pray for our nation and the nations, all of a sudden the motive now, we want people in our communities to know the fatherhood of God. Jesus says, that's the prayer that I answer. Because I continually make the Father known. Okay. Let me read it in the Passion Translation. I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to Him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. What an incredible promise. What a joy. Now, how it opens up prayer life for us. What a joy as Jesus celebrates and the joy of Jesus, the selflessness of the love of Jesus for humanity so that people can know the Father and experience the Father. That same love is in us. It's His love that compels us to pray because we want people to know the reality of the fatherhood of God. That's the prayer that Jesus answered. That's the prayer that's got the guarantee that He will do what we ask. And all of a sudden you will begin to see as you begin to grasp and you grow and spend and fill your mind with these truths. You will, wow, Lord. What a joy that I can start praying for this person right now. They don't know You as a Father. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to help and to make Father real to the people. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus reveals, the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes the Father known. Who knows the mind of the Father? The Holy Spirit only knows the mind of the Father. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes it known to us so that we have the mind of Christ. Who prays according to the perfect will of the Father? The Holy Spirit in our weakness, He intercedes according to the perfect will of our Heavenly Father. So that the fatherhood is made known into our lives. Who can separate us from the love of the Heavenly Father? Who? We read that Romans chapter 8 many, many times. But who can separate us from that love of the Heavenly Father? Let me read it again, but again in another translation. So what does all this mean? If our Heavenly Father has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? The fatherhood of God, place of security, the place of being anchored. When we face persecution, when things aren't going our way, when whatever the case may be. If our Father has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God, our Father, has proved His love by giving His greatest treasure, the gift of His Son. And since our Heavenly Father freely offered Him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he can give to us. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued the final verdict over them, not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the Anointed One, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he continually praying for our triumph? Who would ever divorce us from the endless love of God's Anointed One? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Yes, we face troubles, pressures, and problems, but they are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecution? What about dangers and death threats? What about hunger and sicknesses? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake, God. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all our day-to-day trials that you and I face, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them. Why do we triumph over them? For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. When we live loved, we can go and we can embrace every trial and tribulation and all the issues that you and I face. It is knowing the fatherhood of God. It's being established in the love of our Father that gives us the victory, enables us to be the conqueror. Without the revelation of the Father's love, we live really defeated lives. Okay, and so the Holy Spirit is helping us for the times we're in. This is a word for now. So now, I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which He lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. What an incredible truth. Guys, fill our minds with this. Fill our minds with this incredible truth. We are be transformed. We live in the reality of the Father's love. So, what more can we say? You want to build? Let's build together. Let's build a community that lives in the reality of the fatherhood of our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, our Father. Whether it's town, whether it's Mdela, Vanderbijlpark, Rensselaer, and wherever it may be, Pretoria, Cape Town, Pringle Bay, wherever it may be. Let's connect with that prayer where Jesus says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We want our community to experience, to know firsthand who you are, what you're like. Father, now we ask in the name of Jesus to perform mighty miracles now. Because the miracles are the evidence of your fatherhood. That's the motive now. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus to do mighty signs and wonders in our communities, because these mighty signs and wonders is the evidence of your fatherhood in the name of Jesus. This is the prayer Jesus answers. This is our journey now. The heavens are open for this to manifest in our lives, in the lives of our community. Let's be bold. Let's be courageous. Let's walk in faith. Jesus says, those who have faith will do what I've been doing, even greater things. Those who believe. See? And this is the call now for you and I to now begin not only for ourselves to grow and to be established in the fatherhood of God, but now to make the fatherhood known in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, do whatever you ask in my name, I will do this so that the Father is revealed in his Son Jesus. We pray in his name. Whatever we do, whatever we ask, we do it in the name of Jesus so that the Father is made known to all. That brings healing into families now. Now, I can tell you, I think for many of us, particularly as men, as fathers, many of us have never had fathers. They've died when we were young, or we've been without fathers and that kind of stuff. So people say, be a father. How do you be a father? We don't know. And you can read books, but I know from first-hand experience that the only way to be established in fatherhood, to know what fatherhood is all about, is to know the Father and receive the Holy Spirit's revelation of what fatherhood is all about, and then live in that reality. That becomes genuine fatherhood. That's the only way to heal genuine fatherhood. We can look at fatherhood from a definition in the dictionary, from all the philosophies and you name it, all of that there, all of that stuff. Only Jesus knew the Father. Only Jesus knows what the Father's like. And only Jesus has made the real Father known to us. This is eternal life, that we may know the real, true Father God and his Son Jesus Christ. And so we encourage the family of God. We help the body, the believers that are battling with family issues, father issues, whatever it may be. All the emotional pain and hurt that has been caused because of dysfunctional families. Now begin to help them rather to come and see Jesus, so that Jesus can show them the way what the Father's like. They can see the Father's involvement in the life of Jesus. And when they start to see the Father's involvement in the life of Jesus, they will start to get the revelation by the Holy Spirit what fatherhood is all about. Because now they can look at an example, Jesus Christ, and see the perfect Father involvement in his Son. There's the healing that takes place. The Holy Spirit does that, testifies to our spirit, shows us, opens up, and gives us a true definition, the true revelation of the true, perfect Father heart of God. That's the joy that you and I have as children of God. Let's grow in that. Let's be established in that. But the key over here today is fill our minds and our hearts with heavenly realities. Discipline your mind over there, so when the realities of this troubled world that you and I face in, you need to just pause that and rather fill your mind the fatherhood of God. And you will see that song that says, and then the things of this world will go strangely dim. Now you're involved. Father, thank you. Now we're starting to be established and anchored in your incredible fatherhood. Now we know we have a gospel. We've got a message. We've got a ministry of reconciliation to go now and be involved with the Great Commission, to be involved with the kingdom stuff of God, to see his kingdom established in our communities. Amen. Yeah. So let's pray. And you may want to just, we don't have communion this morning, but you may want to just spend a few moments just speaking and just receiving whatever God has released into our lives this morning. Father, what your Son, our Lord, spoke about and taught us about, that we can ask anything in his name and you will do it, so that you are made known, you are revealed into the lives of humanity in and through your Son Jesus. What selflessness is in that statement? Lord, will you say even greater things we will do? There's no selfishness in you at all. It's your delight, Father. It is your incredible delight to reveal yourself to humanity. And so today, as we come, we want to lift up all our community. We lift up our families. We lift up the families of our communities that we stay in. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you will now stretch out your hand and do mighty signs and wonders and miracles in the name of your Son Jesus, so that, Father, you will be made known. And we thank you for that. We ask, Father, for our community. I can only speak about Metsamaholo. And I'm asking, Father, we ask that we will be a community that lives in the reality of your fatherhood. Where is unemployment? Where is poverty? Where is all this dysfunctional homes? It's not in your fatherhood. It's in the nature of sin and the works of the enemy. And so we come and we're asking now, Father, that please send out the laborers. That, and we say yes to being sent out into the harvest field to help children, men, women of all ages, all languages, cultures, traditions, you name it, that we can be involved with the message and the ministry of reconciliation. You in your Son reconciling people back to you. So we ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to begin to awaken the unsaved, to awaken the body of Christ to the truth found in your fatherhood in Jesus. We ask by your Holy Spirit, Father, that there will be such a deep conviction amongst the unsaved of unbelief, an awareness of their lives, but a revelation of the gift of righteousness, and that there will be a stirring, a move of your hand, Father, of your love wave, breathe your breath of love over a community, to draw them to your Son Jesus, so that in him they can come to know you and live loved by you. Father, every family that is battling with drug addictions, every family that's battling where there's sexual abuse taking place, where there's unemployment, where there's poverty, where there's sicknesses, Father, even as was shared earlier on, where barrenness is a reality, all of this, we come in the name of Jesus. And today we ask for your divine intervention, and we receive the breakthroughs. We receive that in Jesus' name. So we step into our day as we leave our gathering here. We step into not into the unknown, but we step into the reality of the known, your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry, empowering us. Our Lord Jesus, thank you so much for opening the way and sharing your Father with us. So now he is our Father. And we give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen.